When Tyson Timms moved in with his aunt in Marion a few years ago, he hoped it would be a fresh start.
I actually thought, you know, hey, maybe this is going to be the cure to all my problems. Unfortunately, I came with me. So, you know, you can't run from yourself.
Tim says he was hooked on prescription painkillers, something he struggled with for years. Then he turned to heroin. He used some life insurance money from his father's death to fuel his habit. And he also used part of the payout to buy a more than $42,000 Land Rover. Court documents say Timms drove that car to Richmond to buy heroin. And at least twice, he sold the drug for a total of about $500.
I'd ran out of my life insurance money, and I didn't want to be sick. You know, I had a little bit one day, and a guy called and said, hey, I have some people that, you know, want to buy some dope. And I took the chance.
The buyer was an undercover detective. Police eventually arrested Timms and took his Land Rover. A couple months after the state filed felony charges against Timms, it also started a civil forfeiture case in an attempt to keep his car. That was 5 years ago. Timms is still trying to get his Land Rover back.
It might sound silly, but it hurts my self-esteem. I'm a grown man that doesn't have his own vehicle.
While he pleaded guilty to one of the drug deals, Timms fought the forfeiture. He doesn't think police should be able to seize a car worth tens of thousands of dollars for a low-level drug offense. His attorney says that violates the Eighth Amendment's excessive fines clause. The trial court ruled in Timms' favor, saying the vehicle was worth more than four times the maximum penalty he could face in criminal court. The Indiana Court of Appeals also sided with Timms. But the Indiana Supreme Court took a different stance. Wesley Hoddit is an attorney with the Institute for Justice and represents Timms. He was stunned by the court's reasoning.
The Indiana Supreme Court took the state's appeal and decided, to everyone's surprise, that the excessive fines clause of the U.S. Constitution does not apply in this state, meaning that the state could take Tyson's vehicle, and meaning, in fact, that the state could take any Hoosier's property for even a minor crime.
That's something the U.S. Supreme Court will now have to decide after it hears the case later this year. Most civil forfeiture cases don't get nearly as far. It's hard to put an exact number on how many cases go undisputed because until this year, the state didn't require counties to report those activities. Louis Ruley is an expert on civil forfeiture at the University of Pennsylvania Law School. He says more often than not, the seizures go unchallenged.
If you seize $1,000, but it costs you $3,000 to get it back, nobody in their right mind is going to fight. They're going to give up.
And that's not the only barrier for Hoosiers who want their property back. The seizures are handled separately from criminal proceedings in civil court. Ruley says that means there's no right to an appointed attorney if a defendant can't afford one.
People are losing their property not because they're guilty of some illegal activity, but because it's either too costly or too difficult, too complex, too time-consuming to fight back.
It's not about getting my truck back, you know, for me. That hasn't been the case for me for a long time. For me, this is principle. You know, they shouldn't be able to do this to people.
In the years since police took his car, Tim says he's now clean and even speaks to local and state task forces about his battle with addiction and the criminal justice system. And he has a job, but he has to borrow his Aunt Wendy's car to get there.
We don't all have an Aunt Wendy, so there's a lot of people like me that they're stuck.
For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Barbara Brozier.